Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's reading is Proverbs 21, verses 5 and verse 20. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to want. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you all please pray with me? Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all honor, glory, and praise be to your holy name. As we gather here to hear your words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you. This we pray, Almighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is our second lesson of four on our annual stewardship campaign. And last Sunday we heard about the great American nightmare. We talked about the diseases of creditis and affluenza. And today we're going to look a little bit at the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son, most of us have heard the story a lot. Most of us have heard the stories in Sunday school, in worship, in classes. But if you're not familiar with it, let me recap. The prodigal son was the younger of two sons who demanded his inheritance before his father died, something that was totally forbidden in Jewish society. His father gave it to him, and the son went to a foreign land. There, he squandered away the inheritance that father had given him. A famine broke out in the land, and he was hungry, he was broke, and he had nothing to show for the fortune that he had been blessed with. The son took a job feeding or slopping pigs, and one day he woke up and realized that the pigs had it better than he did. The prodigal son decided to return home, ask his father for forgiveness, and as he was walking down the lane to his father's house, the father saw his son, ran out to greet him, and welcomed him back home. End of story. Well, not quite. He did put fine robes, sandals, and a ring on his son, and it sure looks like he forgave him. Now, if we read the passage of the prodigal son from the Bible, though, we would have seen that Jesus describes the prodigal son in a way that shows he has the habits of squandering and spending. The word prodigal does not mean someone who wanders away or is lost. The word prodigal literally means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wasteful extravagance. A prodigal wastes money and is a spendthrift. The prodigal son must have heard the salesman for J.G. Wentworth at the local bazaar. Possibly you heard it, it's your money and you should have it. Those commercials just annoy me. Someone hanging out a window and saying, it's my money and I need it now. See what you miss on daytime TV? Good sermon illustrations. But both the prodigal and those people in the Wentworth commercials have something in common. All they want is pleasure. All they want is instant gratification. Neither is interested in tomorrow. They just want to live for the present. They want to live for the here and now. And along the way to experience pleasure for this day only, and maybe tomorrow. When that is what we live for, the here and now, the present, we tend to become less and less satisfied until finally, we come to a place where we are totally, totally dissatisfied. Then again, there are those of us who do not find ourselves broke. We tend not to abuse our credit cards if we even have them. We don't have bill collectors crawling down our necks and hounding us, harassing us, and threatening us for payments. We simply have become wasteful and extravagant spenders of what God has entrusted us with as a test. We throw money away. There are many ways to waste money, and two of the most prevalent ways we waste money is by impulse buying, which we talked about last week, and about going out to dinner. How many times have we walked into a store, I don't care what kind of store it is, and something catches our eye? Wow, I've just got to have that. In fact, don't tell Kelly, I did that yesterday. Oh, she's here. You know, we may have two or three similar items, yet we have to have that specific one. It was really cool. It really was. That's why I bought it. What's more, internet shopping is the worst. You know, when I lived on the north coast of California, we said it was 5 hours to anywhere. If you wanted to go shopping anywhere, it took 5 hours to get there. No stores, no problem. www.something.com will get you anything. It works. And now watch out, especially if it's Cokesbury, Christian Books, Levenger, Duluth Trading Company, and now Peak Design cameras and gear. Ow, it hurts. But boy, are they great sights. I have a blast on them. That book looks interesting. Yeah. A couple of clicks, and it's on its way. And the shipping is free. I don't have to pay for shipping. I think that's one reason why there are 50 books on my to-be-read shelf in my office. And a pile keeps growing. And don't start me on the camera gear that I've started to collect. Oh, and what about grocery shopping, especially when we're hungry? Oh, you all laugh, you all snicker, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Talk about impulse buying. Don't we want to buy everything that looks good or hits that crave button as we wander up and down the aisles? At least I could reject buying TV dinners or something like that in the frozen food aisle. However, ice cream? Double-stuffed Oreos? Or carrot cake, cut off my hand as I begin to reach without it being on my shopping list. Grocery shopping without a list when we are hungry needs to be a felony punishable by eating eggplant, liver, or pickled okra for a year. Shop for what we need only. Make a list, buy what you need, and then get out of the store. Then there's eating out. Now, I'm not saying that we should avoid eating out at all costs. We all need to have a little variety in our menus and in our lives. We need to treat ourselves every once in a while. But on the average, Americans eat out. Again, this is the average now. Americans eat out 4 times a week. Now, multiply that times the average cost of a meal these days at any of the chain restaurants like Applebee's or Perkins, Cheddar's, Longhorn Steakhouse, or even the restaurants that we have here in Tipton. And the price can be a bunch. How many of us have got to have that latte or special calorie-laden coffee drink every morning? Not only is it packed with poundage, but that multiplies over time. It can cost a small fortune over the course of the year. And thank goodness there's not a Morton's or a Ruth Chris's steakhouse close by. Just two people going once a month for 12 months would total what some of us pay for rent, or a house payment. Think what would happen if we saved that money by really fixing a nice meal at home. So let me ask you, how do we see our purpose in life, our vision, our mission, and our calling? Are we spending money consistent with the calling that's been placed on our heart? I would guess not. By default, our society tells us that our purpose in life is to consume. We are to make as much money as possible and to blow as much as possible on who knows what. However, contrary to what society may dictate as the purpose in life, we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. Let me repeat that. We have been blessed to be a blessing to others. We were created to care for God's creation, to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We were created to care for families and those in need, to glorify God, to seek justice, and to do mercy. Or as the Dalai Lama said, our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Money should never be an end to itself. Rather, it should be a means for accomplishing an end, specifically for accomplishing our life purpose. Money itself isn't all evil. What is bad is that we take money as the most important thing in our lives and never stop pursuing it. Money is just another tool that God gives us to accomplish the greater purposes God has placed on our lives. And one of the ways we can accomplish that purpose or goal is to have a plan, is to have a financial plan. And that financial plan can be tied to accomplishing the purposes and the goal we feel God has placed on us. And it is crucial to us as stewards of the gifts and graces and blessings that God has bestowed upon us to have a plan. Someone once said, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. So to prevent us from planning to fail, I would like to share with you 6 financial planning principles that may help you develop a plan. And the first one is to pay your tithe or offering first. The purpose of a tithe is to teach you always to put God first. In other words, put God first in your living and your giving. Make it your number one priority to honor God with what you have. Give your tithe and offering from the top of your paycheck. That's the first check I write each month. If you get paid twice a month or twice a week, consider giving your tithe or offering in increments. Then live off what is left. And let me add, the church doesn't ask you to tithe right off the top. Remember what I said last week. It's a work in progress. Give with a goal of tithing. Second, create a budget to track your expenses. Some of you may have noticed this already. It is really quite evident, I think, but I am a very organized and methodical person. And if you are familiar with the Myers-Briggs personality types, I'm an I and a J. On the DISC scale, and those on the Leadership Council will know what I'm talking about, I'm a solid C. The point I'm trying to make is that I do plan. I have a budget, and like a typical J personality, I track it in multiple places and back it up and in just as many multiple places. So I won't lose my budget. Now, you don't have to be an I or a J as I am, but creating a budget is simply developing a plan. If you are on a fixed income, you know how important planning can be. A plan can tell you what you want to do with your money. Tracking our income and expenses will let us see where we need to trim things down and will help us and motivate us to be more careful with our expenditures. Third, try to simplify your lifestyle. Well, let me tell you, Pastor, my life is about as simple as it can get right now. If some of you have, that's wonderful. If not, remember that is something to consider. If not, maybe that's something to consider. Remember, impulse buying and eating, Steve, takes a lot out of our discretionary income. Fourth, establish an emergency fund. This one is a bit difficult for me. I have an emergency fund, but I kept dipping into it because I had an emergency need for the cash all the time. And then Kelly told me I can't touch the emergency fund anymore, so now I can't touch it. An emergency fund is a separate account, be it a checking or long-term savings, that's set aside just for that purpose. For example, the unexpected car repairs, the doctor or medical expenses, or for that heater that decides it's time to go out and head for the scrap pile during the cold snap in the middle of December. That's a good use for an emergency fund. But to use it to go on vacation, no. Vacation is not an emergency. Fifth, pay off credit cards as you can. Use debit cards or cash, and use credit wisely. It's wise to pay the debt on a credit card monthly. However, when you can't, try to pay them off as quick as possible. Some financial planners say to pay the ones with the higher interest rates off first. Some say pay off the lower ones. Paying off the lower ones gives you that small victory, and you can work on the next one and experience another small victory and another small victory. Pretty soon, all those small victories lead to no credit cards or all the debt paid off. Those little victories can be exhilarating. And don't forget, don't forget the emergency fund. Finally, practice long-term savings and investment habits. John Wesley had a mantra that we simplify down to 12 words. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. John Wesley gave away everything he made that he didn't have to live on. When he died penniless, or just about penniless. Saving is the number one wise management tool each of us should try to practice. We don't save just to save. That's hoarding. We save for a purpose. Four purposes that we can save for, of course, is emergencies, for what we want, for our goals, and for retirement. So by using these six principles, we can create a simple plan to help us become better managers of our money. Consider these principles and see if they will help us live a better life. Remember, when the prodigal son got home, he may have been welcomed by his father, but he had to make a new start. What about us? Maybe it's time for us to make a new start as well. In order to give extravagantly and experience the joy that comes with living for something beyond ourselves, we must simplify our lives. I leave you with these simple words from the Shaker song, Simple Gifts. 'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be shamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come out right. Let us remember our scripture reading this morning. In the house of the wise, there are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man or woman devours all they have. Let us leave our prodigal life, the wasting of our money behind. Let us glorify God, our Father, with the gift He has given us. And remember, nothing that is God's is obtainable by money. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.